Christian greetings to all. We certainly praise God for this beautiful morning. And I greet you in the name of Jesus, the most beautiful name that you can hear, the blessed name. And I'm blessed with the everybody that's here. There's quite a few of quite a few of younger people, some of these children that ran around here for a number of years, but now they're men and women. I mean, it changes. And it will continue to change as life goes on. So I praise God for his goodness. I will bless the Lord at all times, is what David says. And I hope that we all have that element in us, that whenever something comes up, even if it's not quite everything that we like to see and like to experience, we say, praise the Lord. Could have been worse. But what can be better? Just surrendering everything, surrendering our whole being to God, and let him have his way. David says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And he said that my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. And what kind of people was that that he says? Oh, the humble shall hear and be glad. And he says, oh, magnify with me the Lord, and let us exalt his name together. Those are verses that stood out to me when I was ordained, even before that, as far as that's concerned. But I could quote them in German, possibly a little better than I did the English just now without looking down. But it's a real blessing to be here this morning and have these pews filled up like this. I preached Thursday or Friday at the wedding, and I told Henry, well, maybe I can just have be on the bench today. But he kind of thought that it might be all right. And I think God is able to do far above that which I think or ask or whatever. So we are people that need to be reminded at times of what really is. And we, I think Henry had that in his prayer, how that Jesus left glory, left heaven's glory and came down, and he walked among men and preached the gospel. He told us how to live and how to die. And then he went on and he stood he came as a babe. I wish I could get those words. Michael sings a song, he is my Savior. But he came as a babe, see him laying in a manger, sent from heaven to, and I can't say all the words, but anyhow, it's a wonderful, I just love to sing that song, because he is my Savior. Are you convinced of that, all in your minds, as far as what we have, those that have grown to responsibility? And then he hung on the cross. He hung on the cross that bears our name. He was hanging in open shame, really. Oh, it touches our emotions, what he suffered for us. And then he, those words are, he was hung in open shame on a cross that bears my name. He was mocked and ridiculed and with shame. But then he arose. He arose. What a blessed Savior we have. And we need to be reminded at times. And I guess that's what came to my mind when Henry was wanting me to share the message today. This is Memorial Day weekend. Have you thought about it? Some of them probably did, because you don't have to go to work tomorrow. Things are closed, you know. When we went by the co-op the other morning going to the wedding, I told Louise, well, you know, 54th shut down, Yoder Brothers shut down, the co-op didn't shut down for this wedding. That's something. But tomorrow they'll be closed, I'm sure. So Memorial Day come about, and I'm not sure what year, it's been quite a few years ago, but there's a poem concerning the gray and the blue. Who can tell me what that's all about? Pardon? Civil War, yes. That's what it, but anyhow, we have a memorial checked out in Vine's dictionary, and that says that's which keeps alive the memory of someone. That really, I was glad for that, because we can insert the name of Jesus to keep alive our memory of Jesus that died on the cross for us. He rose again, and he's sitting up in heaven next to the throne of God and interceding for you and I. We need him every day, every hour. He is our strength. He is our joy. He is our all in all. And so, that which keeps us alive, keeps alive the memory of someone or something, to be mindful of something or someone. You know, we have the budget. Most of you are, well, we don't get the budget anymore. It got too expensive. But anyhow, they put memoriams in there of people that died a year ago. It was a year now that father died or mother died or one of the children. And they that's a memorial. And they want others to know. And on we could go. it's recalling, or sometimes we sit together and we reminisce, recalling memories and so forth. That's interesting. So I want you to turn. I don't know whether you want to put Memorial Day for a title for the message, but we're going to hear about memorials. I didn't realize there's 32 verses in the Bible that have the word memorial. Let this be a memorial for all generations, and that includes you and I. And when the Lord God said that, it was a verse in Exodus 3, verse 15. Key verse. Moses had a wonderful memorial experience. And after God was through with him there, he said, let this be a memorial to all generations. Moses was out on the backside of Egypt, keeping his father's sheep. And he was walking along there, and then he saw this bush burning. And maybe I should just read some of that in chapter 3. Let's see. Let's start at, the first verse. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a burning bush. in the midst of a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned and was with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see what this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. And he said, draw not nigh hither. Put off your shoes, off of thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land unto the good land, and a large and a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold the cry of the children of Israel, and come to me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he says, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee, that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said to Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me to you. And God said moreover to Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath sent me unto you. And this is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Maybe that's as far as I'll read here. You can read the rest of it sometime when you got time. But Moses got into, now it's like we were talking here in our lesson, Sunday school class. Things change all the time as we, from a little boy to growing up to be a man, to be a father, to be a husband, and things are changing. We live in our life changes so much. But this is what God planned for you and I. He knows what we're going through. He has planned us. He has made us just exactly like he wants us to be. He wants us to be Christians. He wants to be his children. He wants us to magnify the Lord and exalt his name. And this is a memorial for Moses, that Moses experienced. And that is for all generations. So that applies to us as well. He is God. I am that I am. And there is no other. And so Moses had quite a calling there. And from then on, well, we could if you read on, you know, he's made excuses and stuff like that. But God had a plan. And God has a plan for every one of our lives, from the youngest to the oldest. He brought us into the world. And he says that he is going to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt, out of their oppression. And that brings us joy because we are involved in a situation just like that. He brought us out of our sins, out of our struggles, out of the past, and places us, accepts us as children. As children, yes. And so Moses had this memorial experience, the memorial for all generations. Let us think about these things. And I will not address all these 32 memorials. If you've been wondering, how in the world is this going to be? It's going to take all day. No. This was God speaking. And we'll go to Exodus 12, chapter 12. I'll be jumping around here a little bit, but it's like it says up here in front of this little table here. It said, "This do in remembrance of me." This is a great memorial, and we'll get into that, more of that a little bit later, if time allows. And Exodus 12. Let's just turn to that. Verse 12 through 14. Here he says, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt." Now he's still on this thing of bringing the children of Israel out of Egypt, out of oppression, out of their evils. And God is still bringing us through this until he takes us from this life. Our bodies will be buried out here. Maybe I don't know where I'll live when I pass on. But I'm looking forward to that day. That day. Yes, and here he says here. he was telling them to... the idea of killing a lamb and so on and so forth, getting ready for the passage out of Egypt. And he says here, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you." Okay. "And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever." Do this in remembrance. This is referring to Jesus' sacrifice, the blood of Christ that was shed on Calvary's cross. Do we remember that? This is a memorial. And I'm sure we all, that is a very, very special thing for every one of us that has come to the knowledge and to the age of accountability. And we cannot thank him enough. Twice a year, we love to go through this memorial, this thing that he shed his blood. And this is referring to this at this time already, referring to the blood of Christ, that divine blood that was shed on Calvary's cross. And then that was God speaking to Moses, "I will pass through the land." And of course, it is such a terrific thing, how he parted the waters and they went through on dry ground. That bottom of the Red Sea sure dried out real fast, didn't it? But God is able to do that. I am that I am, and he will not change. So let's, there's a few places there that we, in Exodus 28:12, verse 12, there was Aaron's breastplate, and there was a lot of things, and there were stones on his shoulders, and there's a lot of things we don't understand under the law that was developing there. But anyhow, he had, according to what I can understand or find out, he had the names of the people written on that, and we'll just turn to that Exodus 17, just for a couple words. In verse 14, he says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Write and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua." Let's see. Now I'm a little out of my notes here. I guess I'm right. It was when they were fighting the Amalek, and I was thinking as I read these things, I was thinking that Moses' hands were heavy, and you know that story as well. And they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat down. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side. And the hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under the heavens." And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissa, because the Lord hath sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. And I was thinking here that they were fighting the enemy, and we are fighting the enemy. Sometimes I can't get my arms up like I used to, way up. I guess they're about to be wore out. But anyhow, I'm glad I can still reach up and lift my hand up to God in prayer. And holy men of God, lift up your hands in prayer and without doubting. And so this enemy had the maybe at that time they didn't kill everyone, but they were getting rid of the enemy. And so we are, by the grace of God and through Jesus Christ, we are getting rid of the enemy here, Satan himself, that is wanting to interfere and to destroy everything that God has set up. Wherever the Lord builds a house of prayer, the devil builds a chapel there. He's trying to destroy it all, but he can't if we cling to the hand of Jesus. We cling to the hand. Let's remember that. And, of course, I was getting on to Aaron's breastplate, and that's in the 28, chapter 28, verse 12. I had my things a little mixed up there. Please forgive me. And and that's where he had those names of the people. And when he'd go in to sacrifice for the people, for the souls, it says there, it was an atonement to make atonement for the souls. Now, I don't know how they did all that with when they left. There was so many people. I don't know how they done all that. But anyhow. And so, Joshua. Let's go to Joshua 4:7. And I'm sure you people know what that what that memorial was, and we still still have memorials like that. Let's see where I'm at here. Joshua chapter 4 in verse 7. But the story is there when the children of Israel went into the promised land. They were supposed to pick up the 12 stones. It came to pass when all the people were clean passed over. Now, remember, and the River Jordan was in flood stage. And the water, as well as at the Red Sea, stood in walls. The bottom side of the Jordan River, of course, flowed on. And the water was standing in walls, in a wall that the children of Israel passed through. So it came to pass, and when all the people of were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command them, command ye them to say, take ye hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm. Take 12 stones. Now let's remember the Ark of the Covenant was standing in the middle of Jordan. And they stood there all the while. All the people were passing through. And now he says, get these stones and carry them over with you and leave them in a lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. And then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel and out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in this time to come, saying, what mean these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. And when it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did as Joshua commanded, and took the 12 stones out in the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake to Joshua. According to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, he carried them over with them into a place where they lodged and laid them down. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan in the place where the feet of the priests were, which bear the ark. And the covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. So, anyhow, this is a real memorial. And we can just marvel at God when we remember how God took the children of Israel through these tough situations to bring them into the land of Canaan. And so the stones were a memorial. And I can just there's things that happened in our lives and situations and memorials, if you want to call it, that we can tell our children and our grandchildren. Sometimes when we get to some of our nieces and nephews, they want to hear stories of years ago. And it's something that we can, it's a real blessing to share with them at times. And they're just all sitting there just listening. And what's this next story going to be? You know, we can share these memorials. And this is the very reason why Joshua said, get up these 12 stones. It will be a memorial where you can tell your children, this is what happened. And the wall of water, I don't know the Jordan, how deep Jordan is. I've been there. but I don't know, been what wasn't in the Jordan River. I was just on the shore. And so that water was setting up straight. What a memorial of the greatness of God. And so let's remember that. And then, of course, Joshua in 24. We're going to come to a close here while these times. Just hang on. Joshua 24. What a tremendous testimony. And verse 27. Now we could start reading here in verse 14. Therefore, the fear of the Lord. I think we can hang in here. Now, therefore, fear the Lord. He was talking to Joshua and serve him. This was Joshua talking to the children of Israel. Serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. Let's put away any idols that we have. Let's get rid of them. This is a message to us today that we should get rid of those idols. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose ye this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods of your fathers that your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose lands ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He was convinced, and I trust all of us are convinced. But let's continue on in that. Regardless what the Lord sends our way, sometimes that we wonder, why does this have to happen? But anyhow, he goes on here, and the people answered, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. Well, we feel the same way, every one of us, I'm sure. We will not serve other gods, but let's be careful. Satan comes in here in subtle ways that might take us away. Let's just be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. For the Lord our God, he is the one that brought us up, brought up our fathers. And here they were talking about that. Out of Egypt, from the house of bondage, which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom passed, and the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore, we will also serve the Lord, for he is our God. And Joshua said unto the people, ye cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins if ye forsake the Lord. Let's realize that those words there. If ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he hath done you good. And he goes on, the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, ye are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen you the Lord and to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore put away, he says, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart to the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. Oh, may God help us in our day that we can say that. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God and took a great stone and set it up under an oak, and was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said unto all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us, for it hath heard all the words of the Lord which he spake unto us. It shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest ye deny your God. And so Joshua let the people depart, every one unto his inheritance. And it came to pass after these things that Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. Now this stone that was set there heard everything. And sometimes we say things, we're going to do this or we're going to do that. And then we end up not doing it, not getting it done. May God help us here. But now I want to just read the verse here in verse 31. And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua, and which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. What a testimony. He had served many years. I think he was like 110 years old, maybe. But anyhow, that was a real testimony. And so let us remember. Let us go back and to these memorials and realize the importance of those things that happened, and God put it in place, and he helped people, and he's still helping people today. And we want to be helpers. We want to be workers in the vineyard of the Lord. So may God help us to realize that Memorial Day can bring us to these remembrances, and we can think on these things and continue on what God has told us, what God has brought, where he brought us through our lives. And magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. And so may the Lord bless. I'm glad for everyone here, and I wish you the best that God has for you in your lives. And may we someday all be together in glory in that blessed haven of rest forever and ever, and in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, who redeemed us, who gave his life. He hung on the cross, and when he called out, Eli, Eli, and some other words there, then he says, "Why hast thou forsaken me?" I believe God's heart was burdened at that time, the death of his son. But yet, he rose again. The power of God, and the power of God can work in our lives, in your life and mine, as we continue on our journey from earth to heaven. May God help us to stand firm. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord God. Let's kneel for prayer.